Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have done everything that you could do to be with us. That it's your heart's desire to be with us and to dwell with us and for us to be and dwell with you. Father, we thank you that in this time we can remember and celebrate God with us, your desire for to be close to us and for us to be close to you. God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, there is a demand, their service demand things of them. They live in fear. They live in condemnation, all works-based. Only our God is the one who came to be with us. Isn't that cool? He wants to be with you. That's why he sacrificed everything. So, and it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, Emmanuel. So as you, this week, I just want to encourage you, remember that the message of Christmas is that God wants to be with you. Remind yourself of that and let your heart be drawn out to him. Glory, glory to his name. I am super excited about this potluck next Sunday. Use it as an opportunity. Invite everybody. Invite people. You know, we always have invite people. It's a chance to have people come. And if they want to come to church, great. If they just want to come after and come for the dinner, invite them to the church's Christmas party. You know, that doesn't sound too threatening, does it? You know, invite them and use it. Tell people. Glory to God. Jeannie was good. I asked her to order some tracks, and we got a whole bunch of these really cool iridescent tracks. They're like a business card. You can stick them in a Christmas card. You can hand them to people. We've been giving them out, and people like them. People enjoy receiving them, and you know, we were out Christmas shopping, and we have one guy. You know, people at this season they'll let you do. I know Denise and Pat, you guys pray for people wherever you go. But at Christmas time, people are even more open. We were at some Old Navy or something. We were shopping, and this guy's behind the counter with his arm in a sling. And when we were leaving, I just said, opportunities. You know, I mean, I've had sometimes people say no, they don't want me to pray for them, but it's okay. But everybody loves a colorful Christmas tree. And when you move it a little bit, it says there's no Christmas without Christ. So, yeah, take those. We have a whole bunch of stacks of them, and I would love to see them all gone before Christmas. So go ahead and take them and give them out. Leave them for people. Do what you want. I understand that... I understand Genesee Valley Chorus had a lovely concert last night, and we have the Fountain Arts Orchestra is going to perform this evening at Genesee Valley School, orchestra, chorus, and concert band. And you have some local people here, Chris and Robert and my wife and I will be playing in the orchestra. Robert and Chris, at the end, we'll be singing as well with the choir, and invite people. The message of the gospel is always very clear at these concerts. If you invite somebody to hear some great holiday music, they're going to hear all about Jesus. It's another chance. And people love to go and hear an orchestra, hear a band or a choir. So, yes, Karen?
The Yendo Rex Musical
Choir.
That's
Monday, right?
Monday
night at the library. I remember Sharon mentioned that at our prayer meeting on Friday. 7:00 at the public library in Andover. And all of these are opportunities to invite people. And they all sing about Jesus. You know, it's not just, it's not all about Santa Claus and presents. It's about Jesus. So take those opportunities, please. 6 p.m. And we have a few invitations in the back table if you need it. They are there. 6 p.m. Genesee Valley tonight. A few prayer requests today. We want to lift up our sister Sherry Clark. She had some surgery this week, and we want to pray for her. She's doing well, but we want to pray for her recovery. My son Greg still needs a place to live. He's still hunting for an apartment. Where he lives is very challenging and extremely expensive. So, but he's got some possibilities. We want to remember to continue to pray for our sister Kim. She needs God to touch her lungs. And God is able. And we're going to pray and believe God. Just like we're praying for our brother Pat, believing God for a complete deliverance. God can do it. Roxanne has asked for prayer as well for Kevin Cobb. We want to continue to lift him up. Miracle. Many miracles. Miracles over and over. Angels and Immaculate Conception and prophecies fulfilled and over, Lord. So we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. Father, we pray that you would touch Sherry and that you would accelerate her recovery. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would cause her body to heal quickly. In Jesus' name, infuse her with strength. Bless her, Father. We pray for Kim that you would deliver her from that lung issue. In Jesus' name, God, we pray that you would cleanse every bit of that out and that you would restore her lungs, Father. Restore them. In Jesus' name, bring healing. Healing to our sister. God, we know you're able to do it. I pray that you would move in my son Greg's life. I thank you that he is still proclaiming that you are leading and providing him, and I thank you for that. I appreciate you that so much, Father. Thank you, Lord. We pray for our brother Kevin, Lord. He lost his way as he has. We pray that you would reach him, touch him, clear his mind, help him to see reality the way it really is. God, that you would have mercy and bring him back to a healthy place, Lord. Bring him back. We pray that for Sam Russo too, Father. We pray that for Sam, that you would bring him back, Father. Bring him back. We thank you for the positive steps that we've heard. But God, we pray that he would grab hold of the lifeline. Father, they've been dangling that line in front of him for a long time, and he's looking at it. God, I know he's looking at it. God, I pray he would grab onto it in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for it. And Lord, we pray that you would bless that potluck, that dinner next week. God, that lots of people would come. And I pray that people, it would be a day of salvation for some. Lord, that you would reach people in this season in Jesus' name. Glory, glory to God. Glory to his name. Well, I'm delighted. Oh, before I do that, anybody have a testimony? Anybody want to share anything that God's been up to this week? Roxanne, go ahead. I don't know if this is on anymore. It is. It will be in a second.
Almost 2 weeks ago, I fell and I injured my tailbone. And this last snowstorm that we got like 5-6 inches. And I was taking my brother Steve to a doctor's appointment. When I came home, my entire driveway and walkway was completely cleared. I don't know who did it, but I was like, thank you, Jesus. Now I don't have to shovel the snow. It was just awesome.
Amen. Amen. Heather.
This is actually from a while ago, but it's kind of a funny little story. I had this bump that started growing on my eyelid. And you couldn't really see it. You know, I was really the only one that could see it. And at first I was like, huh, that's, you know, weird, whatever. Skin does weird stuff sometimes. And so I didn't pay much attention to it, but it wasn't going away, and it was, like, slowly getting bigger. And so it's easy to, like, start going down the, you know, the snowball effect. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, my word, I have cancer on my eyelid.
Right.
What am I going to do? They're not going to, it's going to grow. You know, they're going to have to remove my eyelid. I can't live without an eyelid. Like, how am I going to live without one of my eyes? You know, it just, whatever. And so this was a little while ago, and Pastor had spoken a message about, are you a worrier or a warrior? And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I should not, this is not where this should be going in my brain. And so I was like, I need to just pray over this thing. So I prayed over it, and the next day it fell off.
Oh my God. Woo! Amen. 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 Amen.
Just two or three things. I finally have hit the point where I feel the best I have felt in a long time.
Yay.
The COVID stuff is all gone. The medication is all working, and that is great. And I love thank for neighbors who come and shovel me out all the time. Robert does an incredible job. This one happened this morning. Curtis, I need to thank you for that hug this morning that set my GPS thing off. Because it didn't go through. And I had a phone call just before church started, and I went out and answered it, and it was Life Alert, because they said, we know you set this off, and you have, and it set off, but it didn't answer. So are you okay? So I told them I was fine. Then somebody gave me a big hug, and it set my monitor off. And they said, well, nobody, the service department is not in today, but you need to call them tomorrow, because this is not working right, and we need to make sure that this is working right. And it's good. So thank you, because I could have been in a very serious situation, and it wasn't working.
So don't be afraid to give somebody a hug.
As you can see, I'm getting around a whole lot better today. So what I had done something strange to my knee. It's been like weeks. And last Sunday, I was really hobbling to try to get here. And my wife had even called the Taggarts, knowing that Wayne probably would have an extra cane or two. And they did. And in fact, it was it really helped me that day. And it was that in itself was a special blessing, because we found out that the cane had been found in Cheryl Perry's house that Jesse Taggart bought. So now I've got, that's just kind of special to us, from our dear old sister Cheryl, who's gone to be with the Lord years ago. But anyway, Pastor Dave prayed for me, and I'm up and around and did my snowblower this week and all that. And so we're getting there. It's slow but sure. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's instant, but I'll take it, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord.
Remember that the scripture says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes you recover a little at a time. Sometimes it's right then. I love the right then. I want the right then all the time. Sometimes it's recovery, but it's recovery. If I took a razor blade and I ripped open that seat cushion, how long is it going to take for that to heal? It'll never heal. But if you get a cut, your body's designed to heal, and we recover. And that's part of God's wonderful creation. And as a Christian, God gets to accelerate that healing in you because of what Jesus has done. Glory to His name. Glory to Him. All right. Brother Tom, I want you to have plenty of time to share. Our brother Tom is coming to share the word this morning. Pardon me. Pastor Tom is coming to share the word this morning. I may be the pastor of the church, but you know, a pastor is a calling. And he's never lost that calling, so I have no problem referring to him as Pastor Tom. Come on up.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm not sure exactly what the statistic is right now, but because this might not be accurate for this day, but not too long ago, I read a statistic. I think Barnum was the one who conducted the survey, and he said something to the effect of 93% of the people who attend the church they attend started because somebody invited them. It wasn't a billboard or, I mean, those things are important. Once you get people in the church, you have to have the programs on. But the people who come to a church, most of them are because somebody invited them. And you may, that may even be your story as well. Somebody invited you here and now you're stuck. this is wonderful. This is Christmas time, and you know, I said to Judy, I said, "Man, it's not even Christmas yet, and I've had it. Usually I'm okay with snow till Christmas, and then I start getting antsy. But I got to tell you right now, I've had my share, and this is quite a Christmas season. But you have to look at it and say, you know, this is God setting the stage for us to just rejoice in Him. Every year, it seems like the Lord draws me to a different aspect of Christmas, and I kind of get camped there. Might go for a month or so, and sometimes it might be the Luke, you know, something out of Luke where, you know, it talks about Jesus' birth, or it might be prophetic, you know, different prophetic things. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and so on. And I'll just go and I'll just think about that throughout the Christmas season. And it's not really a something I set to do, it's just kind of the way it happens. And this year, I have been in Matthew chapter 1, and if you're here last week, this is a scripture I used when I was serving communion, because this is where my meditation this Christmas has been. So I just want to share with you some of the things that I feel the Lord has shown me during this Christmas season, or re-highlighted. Interesting, I've heard a couple of my friends at different meetings, they were sharing devotionals, and they were sharing out of the same thing. And so some of what I'm going to share, I got to be honest with you, when I heard it, I said, yeah, that's really good. I need to pass that on. So, but anyhow, Matthew chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles or your devices or whatever, kind of open those things up and know where to find the book of Matthew, the first chapter in verse 18, and it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." As we go through the Christmas story, there's all kinds of personalities that pop up in this story. You know, we have Gabriel. Gabriel makes a couple stops talking to Zechariah and talking to Mary. We got the angels on the night Jesus was born or shortly thereafter. They visited the shepherds and the glory to God in the highest. They're very vocal. There's Zacharias. He had some things to say. And Elizabeth, she said, the babe leapt in my womb. So all these people have something to say. Mary, she's quoted quite a bit. There's the wise men. They have something to say. They go and they want to know where the king of Israel is born. But Joseph, there's not a word about Joseph. Joseph, now I'm sure he said something, but there's no record of There's no recorded word of Joseph at all. He's a mystery in a sense. There's no mention of him after the incident in Jerusalem where Jesus stayed behind and they had to go back and search for him for 3 days. Even there, it just said that his parents. So he was still around when he was 12, but that's really the last he surfaces. And it's assumed that something happened and he passed on. And there's people who speculate why that might be. I'm not going to do that today. But when Mary stood at the cross, she didn't stand with her husband. In fact, Jesus had to say to John, "Behold, your mother." And from that point, it says John took her into his own house. So Joseph was gone by then. He was not around. But we do know some things about him. He was in the kingly line of David. He was in that royal lineage. He was betrothed to Mary. And we're going to talk a little bit about betrothal in a minute. But he's not yet married to her, but betrothed. And he found out, you just have to kind of put yourself in this situation. Okay, just work with me here. Get yourself in this situation. Mary shows up and she says to Joseph, "I'm going to have a baby, but it was by the Holy Spirit." Now that was the truth, but it's one of those truths that might be at the moment a little bit hard to understand or to take. But it says that he was a just man, and he was treating Mary the best he could. And more about that too as we go on. It's interesting that God took this guy Joseph and entrusted Joseph with his son. That to me is just amazing. What an honor Joseph had to be the foster father of Jesus, at least through at least 12 years to care for him and all of those things. And there says some other things about him. But Joseph was in a tough spot. He was in a dilemma. He was torn between situations, circumstances, emotions. I tried to put myself in Joseph's place, and I don't think that's possible, but I could just imagine the getting this news from Mary and trying to figure out what do I do? Where do I go from here? This is like heavy duty stuff. And everybody would probably assume that either Mary and Joseph jumped the gun or Mary was immoral. I mean, and so neither of those were good options. We don't have insight into what Joseph might have been thinking very deeply. We do know that he formulated a plan as he thought about this. But there had to be many questions and many possible options that went through his mind. Now, maybe you face something that's really a dilemma. It's not black and white. It's not easy. And you have going through your mind, well, I could do this. I could do that. Maybe I should do this or do something else. And so as he's thinking about this, there has to be all kinds of thoughts going through his mind as how he could deal with this very, very awkward situation. Awkward for him, awkward for her. And it's interesting that it says, in the scriptures we read, it says that he, being a just or a righteous man, had decided that he would put her away quietly, secretly. So he was going to cover her, but this was before the angel explained anything to him. All he had was Mary's word. Now, this is just a hard truth to accept apart from some kind of revelation, which he got. But he had already formulated a very gracious and merciful plan even before the angel came and said, marry her. Everything is going to be okay. And, you know, it wasn't only her reputation that was on the line. It was his reputation. I mean, they're going to think, well, Joseph, yeah, right, the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm, yeah. And it's a hard case to make. In fact, it never happened before that, and it's never happened since then. So this is a once in a lifetime sort of thing that happened. This is something that wasn't like, what am I going to do? Caesar's and he's oppressing our nation, and it wasn't that kind of a thing. This was something in his life. This was something close to him, and it's often really difficult. Most difficult, I think, to deal with these kinds of situations when they're closest to us, when they involved family, when they involved a spouse or a son or a daughter or a brother or sister or just a close friend, somebody close to us. And through nothing that we have done, we find ourselves drawn into dilemmas where we have to come up with some idea of how are we going to do this. I've sat with many people. I'm not a great counselor. I'm the first to admit that. But even so, it seems like I've done over the years a lot of it. And I would sit with people, and so many times lead-off questions would be something like, how do I? And then they'll say, how do I handle this, or how do I respond? What should I say? How do I respond? Who needs to know? All these questions need to be answered somehow. One time in one of my churches, this is unfortunate. In some ways, I think it's a little unfortunate. I think it's very unfortunate, but back at that particular time, it was still unacceptable for someone to get pregnant outside of being married, and it wasn't something that's particularly in the church that was accepted. And he came to me, and he told me that one of my elders came to me and told me that his daughter had gotten pregnant, knowing my church and the people who were there, and knowing where they were at, and very holiness-based kind of people, this had the potential of hurting the church. People might walk away. Well, if that's what's going to go on that place, we're not going to be there. So he came to me and he said, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Should I resign? Do I need to step down as an elder? And he told me, because the Bible says that an elder has to have, you know, good control over their family and so on. And so we had to work through that situation. And we had to pray about that. And we couldn't just do the knee-jerk thing. I have observed sometimes when someone gets in trouble in a church, there's a shunning takes place almost. People are just, they're turned away because we are the holy ones and you are not. That, you know, so, and I hate to put it like that, but that's kind of like the Amish. They'll shun you if you step outside of the rules of the community. And you know, I don't ever think that that's only in the most extreme circumstances would we do something like that. Anyhow, we worked it out. The church actually grew stronger through the whole thing because God was with us. He gave us grace. He gave us wisdom. We didn't try to hide anything, and it all worked out good. But initially, sometimes things will assault, if I can put it like this, assault our righteousness. You know, like, you did what? You know, and now what you did is going to touch me? You know, that sort of thing. And Joseph was in that kind of a situation. Mary, what? Tell me again what you just said. Because I think you said you're pregnant, and I think you said it's the Holy Spirit's responsible. And I don't know that I don't know how to handle that. I don't know how really to deal with that. So you might have found yourself, hopefully nothing quite that difficult, but something not of your doing has embroiled your life, and it's hard to hear from God sometimes. It's it it's much easier for me to hear from God for you than it is for me to hear from God for my own children. I think there's all kinds of things wrapped up in there. There's love, there's relationship, there's, that doesn't mean I don't love you, I don't mean to say that. But when you have a child or something, you have a different kind of relationship, and the consequences of dealing with that child could be so far-reaching and so on. And so it's sometimes the closer it is to you, the more difficult it is for you to resolve. Well, good news is God promised help. It says in James 1:5, and we hear this all the time, that doesn't make it any less true. Just because you've heard the scripture 10,000 times, it doesn't make it any less true. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. That is the word of God. So our first step is not a knee-jerk sort of thing, but it's taking the situation, if I can use Joseph and Mary, Mary's just dropped this bomb right in Joseph's lap, and the first thing he needs to do is go to God and ask for wisdom. Even if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, he still needs to ask for wisdom because he has to deal with this person, this Mary. So it says, it says that Joseph was a righteous man. How would Mary, trying to put myself again, these are my meditations, these are things I think about. How did Mary, now Mary knew he was a righteous man. She knew that. She was going to marry him. She was betrothed to him. She has got to go and tell this guy this story. And she had no idea what he would do, and none whatsoever. He could have done a lot of things. But she wasn't at all certain of his reaction. Now, a little bit about betrothal, just so you understand. Betrothal is a lot more than just getting engaged. Betrothal actually is in the Jewish tradition and the scripture, it's a legally binding stage of marriage. And so it says in Matthew, Mary was betrothed and later called Joseph her husband. So he was her husband, but they weren't living together, and they weren't living together as husband and wife. But it was a legally binding thing, and the only way out of it is to get a writ of divorce. This was a stage of becoming married. Wrote a few notes here. Once a couple was betrothed, they were considered husband and wife under Jewish law, even though they did not yet live together or have marital relations. After betrothal, the couple usually lived apart for about a year, preparing for married life. I'm not sure that's not a good idea, but I digress. Ending betrothal, to end it, you have to get a, requires divorce, and there is no sex involved during that period of time. So it's like the responsibilities of marriage, but it hasn't fully been consummated. Now, this is what the law says about this relationship. In Deuteronomy 22, 23 and 24, it says that if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gates of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. And you shall put away the evil from among you. So Mary, who knows the law, this could be life and death. He could take her in his righteousness, and he could drag her out to the city square, and he could expose her, and he could tell everybody what to do, and they could all pick up their rocks, and they could do her in. That was a possibility. Here she is. She's got to tell him, and he has got to respond. Did he believe her when he said this? I don't know. Did he believe her when she said this? I don't know. Doesn't say he did. Just said that he was going to deal with her in a gracious and merciful way. That's all we know. We don't know. And he could have been doing, you know, the eye rolls for all we know. You know, like, sure. But he wasn't going to harm her. He wasn't going to injure her in any way. And this was before the angel told him about the child's origins. And so when we're sometimes somebody will do something in our family. Family is the toughest. Everybody agree with me that families can be the toughest. And we can react. And we can feel like, you know what? I'm right. And you're wrong. And we can plow forward with that sort of thing. And I can tell you from experience that the end of that normally isn't what I would have wanted or intended. There's better ways to handle things. But you can stand in your righteousness and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the Bible says. You know, cast out the sinner. You know, if we can deal with that. But Joseph didn't do that. It says this in Matthew 24. Jesus was asked this question. And he says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? So he wants to know. He's talking about the law in the greatest commandment. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Joseph could see past the Deuteronomy passage that says, take her out and stone her. And he could say, I need to show some way to love this person, to love this woman. I think he probably did love her. He wanted to express that, and he did that by making a plan that it was a good plan. You got to commend Joseph. It was a good plan. I'm going to take her, kind of quietly take her, put her aside, and nobody's going to be any the wiser. People say, what happened to Mary? And we'll figure that out later, but we're going to put her away secretly. And it was a kind and a merciful plan, and I say, way to go, Joseph. Way to go. But it wasn't God's plan. We need to be open to God. Sometimes we come up with I'm a planner. I come up with all kinds of plans. You know, I got plans upon plans and contingencies upon contingencies, and I'm always thinking, but all that can't be God. You know, somehow I got to sort through it and find out what is God actually saying here. Proverbs 16:3 says, if we commit our works to the Lord, our thoughts will be established. So there came a time. Now, Joseph is making this plan, but he had to hold the plan loosely. He couldn't get too invested in this plan, because the angel in a dream came to Joseph, and he said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So that would indicate that there was some level of fear in Joseph, because he's told, don't be afraid. The angel didn't say, don't be afraid of me, which most of the time when angels show up, that's the first thing they say is, don't be afraid of me. But he's saying, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So God now is in this thing, and God is now speaking to Joseph, and sometimes we do get invested in a course of action. And it's hard for God to break through and help us to see that he has a better way. We need to really sometimes take a step back. There's all kinds of reasons why Joseph might be afraid. Like I said earlier, his own reputation was on the line. What would his mom and dad say? You know, when we're all wrapped up in fear, it can be very difficult. Like if we're dreading consequences or dreading the fallout for something, or how does this reflect on me? Or we're wrapped up in that fear. It's hard to hear from God. It's hard. We need to like I really appreciated Heather's, you know, thing that she was decided, I'm not going to be a worry. I'm going to be a warrior. A warrior, yes. Warrior? Warrior. Whatever it was. I was there for that message, by the way. I just can't. But she decided to not be the bad one. Okay? But before that, there was fear. There was fear. my eyelid's going to fall off, you know. And thank you, Pastor Dave, for that message, because it really made a difference in Heather's life. But there was fear. We get wrapped up in fear. It gets really difficult to hear from God. We're all looking at everything and what might happen, what could happen, what's going to happen. How do I look? How does somebody else look? You know, all those things. But God said through the angel, he said, you know, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Okay, well, there's consequences. There's consequences to that little direction. And I guess you really have to decide. Sometimes God will tell you to do something and the consequences are going to be obvious. There's going to be questions. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. There are times you just have to say, Lord, this plan of yours, it's not making a lot of sense to me, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And in Romans 8:28, verse we often quote, again, it doesn't make it any less true. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. He's working everything out for good. There are two people in this thing. Well, counting Jesus, there's three. But there's Mary and there's Joseph. And they are in a pickle. But God says, you marry her, be husband and wife, you go forward. And they said, okay, we'll do that. Don't underestimate the magnitude of this decision for them to obey God, for both of them. I like this. This is one of my favorite New Testament verses. I've got 50 or 60, I think. This is one of them. It says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, I would say the situation we're looking at right now would be covered by that. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Peace that doesn't make sense. Peace. Everybody can look at you and say, why are you handling this so good? Are you on double doses of Valium? I mean, what is going on with you? You ought to be really upset. But if we make our requests known to God with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, we'll have peace that goes beyond what is even rational in the natural. I like that kind of peace. When there's storms all around, but somehow in your heart, everything's okay. Doesn't mean you don't see what's going on. It just means you're not all wrapped up in fear. And so we see that. We see Joseph's response to this angel, and it was simple. He obeyed. He did what the angel told him to do. And it says in Matthew 1:24, it says, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he married the girl. So now they're no longer betrothed. Now they're fully married. And we won't get into the further family of Mary and Joseph at this time, but they moved on together and built a life together. God knows the whole thing. He knows everything in our lives. And sometimes his plan is counterintuitive to what we think will be the best move. But we don't know everything. See, if we knew what he knew, then everything would be, that's a great idea. But we don't know everything he knows. But he knows it. And so God in his wisdom will sometimes tell us to do something, respond in some way, whatever it is, and it's the right way. But everything in your brain is saying, this is not the way I would do it. So we have a choice. and the choice is to obey or not to obey. I love this. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We all know that, right? Unless he tells us what he's thinking, we won't know what he's thinking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's good to remember that when you are seeking God, when you are presenting your plan to him, when you're faced with a dilemma, to say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. Are you leading me in this? Is there something else? Lord, I really need your help. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, so you need to speak to me. I really need you to talk to me. I need you now. I remember when we were getting ready to leave for our first term in Africa, how old was Timothy, Judy? About two, something like that? That's 2 years old. And he developed some nasty respiratory problems. In fact, we had him probably 2 or 3 months before we left the country. If it was that long, we had him in Buffalo Children's Hospital for 4 days, something like that, 4 or 5 days. And he was in an oxygen tent, and his lungs were not good. And the doctor knew our plans to go to live in Africa, and not just in Africa, but probably, arguably, the most primitive and backwards country in Africa. At least it's up in the top view. And a doctor looked at us and said, just like this, said, you take this boy to Africa, you will kill him. Didn't say he will die, didn't say he'll be sorry, he said, you will kill him. And that was a heavy, load to. So we left that doctor's office and we're thinking, okay, we love our son. What are we going to do? And so we prayed, and the Lord brought to our mind, as we processed this together, all the things that he had done, one after another, lining things up, one after another, after another, after another, all pointing us to go to depart for the Congo. And now this thing comes up, and we believe. Now, I am not for people just to cavalierly handle these sorts of medical things. You need to know you're hearing from God, all right? And if you don't know, then probably should listen to your doctor until you know. But we knew. I mean, God had said it. He confirmed it. He provided. Everything was in line. Everything was in place. And then just before we're supposed to leave, the doctor says, you will kill your son if you leave. We decided we're not gonna operate in that level of fear. We put that aside. We went to Africa, and never again. One time, we used to have a little breathing apparatus that we took with us, and this medication, theophylline, I guess it was, or something like that. And you give him breathing treatments when he couldn't breathe. We took that with us. Took the medicine. We only had to use it one time in the whole time that we were there, and it wasn't even severe. And he's totally fine. He's just moved on with his life, and he's totally fine. Sometimes we have to pull away from what the natural mind would take us to and really hear from God. If we can offer grace when even our own righteousness is offended, that's a good thing. Be gracious. People fall. People fail. They need people who will cover them. I'm not talking about covering. I got to end. I'm not talking about covering up. I'm just talking about covering. Remember Noah? Noah, after the flood, he planted a vineyard, and he made wine, and the guy got drunk. You know, and now he's in his tent and he's naked, and the one son comes in and sees his father naked and goes out and tells his brothers, hey, dad's really a mess. Come on, look at this. And the other two took a blanket and they walked backwards and they covered their father. They didn't want to expose him, didn't want to embarrass him. We need to learn to cover people. Not cover up, but cover people. If we can offer our plans to the Lord and allow Him to change them if necessary, we're taking a great step in the right direction. If we can rest in Him and refuse to be driven by fear, our situations and our lives can be much more positive. And if we can simply obey Him, even knowing that others might not understand, just obey Him. The last thing that Mary, well, it wasn't the last thing she said, but it was one of the last things Mary said at the wedding in Cana. She said to the servants, she said, whatever He says to do, do it. And that turned out really good. We'll find God's answer to every dilemma if we can just kind of put these things into our situation. So I don't know, are you facing a situation today? Something that's perplexing, a dilemma, something that's difficult to know what to do with? Probably one or two anyhow here are. Would you just offer that to the Lord right now? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we take our burden. Cast all our care upon You. You care for us. Lord, we don't know what to do with everything that we face, but Lord, we give it to You. Lord, and we pray that You would help us to be gracious and merciful in all of our dealings. Father, we pray, Lord, that You would give us a plan. Father, we pray that You would speak to us. And Father, we pray that You would give us the grace just to follow through and obey and whatever You give us to do. And we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Dave.